12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 24. My name is Wes Otis. This is our Call of Cthulhu actual play, and I have some wonderful players with me. Let's start with Mac.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and today I'm playing Cass Richardson, a.k.a. Lenore Von Mori.
Hello, hello. I'm Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I'm playing Imani DeVoe, she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I will be playing Belle Bellington today.
Hello, my name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and today I'll be playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Hi, my name's Lev. I'll be playing Roberta Robbie Serios. I use they, them pronouns, and Robbie uses they, she.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
Excellent. So in the last episode, wow, a lot happened. We actually just finished recording the after show for that show. So the recap should be easy, but it's really not. Penelope and Cass turned into werewolves after Cass was basically sent over the edge with the situation with Rose pointing a gun at them. Upon wolfing out, they attacked Rose. Meanwhile, Evie, Imani, and Robbie ran into the bathroom and locked the door, leaving Rose out there to fend for herself. And there was a big attack. Meanwhile, Belle had gone to sleep, had a horrifying dream of being eaten one piece at a time by Tony Stinelli. Then it turned into this creature in the mirror, this strange tentacled creature that seems to be a priest of some master that they have not told you about. After waking up, Belle finds a large chest in the hallway and does not open it because it has a card in it, and this chest keeps following her around. She then left her house and went over and had a conversation with Easter, trying to find her friends. After that, she made her way over to Imani's, where she found Penelope and Cass on the floor, covered in blood, in front of a corpse, and the scoop of a century just laid out in front of her.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about our actual jobs.
Just going to bring that up. That's where we're starting. Belle, you've opened the door, and you've walked into Variety, if you want.
I don't think Belle's brain is there right now, honestly, because I think she is still too freaked out.
I figured. I'm not saying you're going to do it. I'm just putting it out there as a fun little side note.
But she goes into mob wife mode. She sees the body. She sees Cass and Penelope. And she's like, go get in the bathroom and get washed up. And then she starts wiping the place down, wiping prints off of everything. And I say, go now.
And I think that Cass is still so, like, in shock over what's happened that the direction is almost helpful. Like, it kind of cuts through in her brain and gives her something to focus on. So she goes with Penelope and knocks on the bathroom door.
Imani and Robbie are up against the door. What do you all do?
Who's there?
Good question.
It's Cass. Please let me in.
Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
Amazing. God damn it, Wes. God
damn it. You get to keep that one today, Wes.
Wes, the dad jokes. They have to. Please. Please.
That wasn't even like a dad joke. That was just solid.
That was solid.
Oh,
Sorry.
I just yell over. I go, it's Belle. I'm here. Everything's calm out here. Not gonna say it's okay, but it's calm.
All right then, Robbie.
Okay, yeah. Robbie kind of unlocks their braces and stands up and, not knowing anything else to do, kind of reaches over to help Evie out of the tub.
Thank you, Robbie, darling. My joints were a little bit stiff for a moment.
Monty, like, opens the door, just like a crack, like, peeks out, has, like, her foot against the door to kind of, as, like, a bracer just in case, and, like, peeks out.
Please let me wash up.
We don't have time.
Okay.
Open the door. Imani, do you have any clothes you can give Penelope and Cass?
Yeah. Just give me one second.
Grab them now. Okay. Robbie, Evie, you need to start wiping the place off. Your prince cannot be here.
Oh, the police. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Jump into action, everyone, please.
We maybe have 8 minutes.
There's alcohol in the medicine cabinet. Like Imani says, as she's like throwing, like looking through, like digging frantically through her drawers, trying to find stuff for Penelope and Cass.
Who are probably taking the least sexy shower together ever. Yep.
Yeah, you guys get showered.
Yeah, it's more of a, shower.
And I think Cass is probably like on and off crying.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Oh, I'm gonna turn to Belle and say, the extra footprints, the footprints that shouldn't be here, the goo and the ash and the, what do we do with them? Do we leave them?
We don't have time for any of that right now. Just get them cleaned up so we can have them looking presentable and get them out of the building.
Okay. Here, I found these. They should work for now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there a back entrance?
Yeah, Imani runs into the kitchen and grabs like a trash bag and dumps their soiled clothes into the trash bag and ties it up.
The fact that your apartment has trash bags at this point for the amount of times that this particular action has taken.
Exactly. I bought the industrial size pack.
Rose had a Costco membership. So
my car's downstairs. Let's go.
Okay.
You're not dealing with the blood, right? You're just going straight for wiping stuff down.
No, we're just cleaning them up so we can, and wiping down so that we can get out of the building before the cops get there.
Okay. And you pass by the phone and that unfortunate voice pops in your brain that says, I could just call Tony and get the entire apartment cleaned up.
No, I keep going.
Okay, so before you get to the car, I do have something else that might take place because they're washing up. You're kind of running around, wiping down stuff. You go into the bedroom, you're wiping down stuff. Sam, can you make a luck roll? Can Imani make a luck roll for me, please?
Oh, shit, that jumped out. Okay, that's 41 under 55.
Okay, as you're running around, you notice that Belle is wiping down parts of the bedroom. And you notice that there is a wallet slid underneath your bed.
Imani will use her sleeve to reach under the bed and grab it, pull the wallet out.
Can you give me a stealth roll?
Yeah. Let me see what my stealth is. Okay.
You realize right away that it's Johnny's.
Oh, fuck me. That's a 99 over my 45.
Oh,
that's so bad.
That's bad.
She explodes. No, just kidding.
So bad. Yeah, I actually do implode.
You go forward to grab this. You've got your sleeve. You hit it and it slides underneath and hits Belle's feet as she's wiping down the like credenza or whatever in the bedroom, or the vanity, I should say. Belle, you look down and you see a wallet.
I pick it up and I open it.
It's got Johnny's ID in it.
I take a second because I am brimming with anger now. Just ready to lay into someone.
Whose is it?
Like you don't goddamn know.
Are you mad at me like I have something to do with this?
I show her the ID.
Fucking Rose.
your girlfriend, you could have had control over the situation.
I don't have control over a grown adult.
I didn't say the adult, I said the situation. But we need to go. We can argue later. Let's go.
All right. So you clean up, you throw on some of Imani's clothes, you leave the apartment, you shut the door, you jump in the car. Where are you guys going? I'm imagining, Belle, you're still driving, correct?
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to Penelope's.
All right.
But I make everybody throw their shoes in the bag. And on the way back to Penelope's, we pass by the tar pits, put some rocks in the bag.
The LAPD just drags the tar pits every week. Just like, we know it's here. We know where all this stuff is. Wait, that's one of ours. No, put that one back.
Yeah. I put rocks in the bag and throw it over. And then we head to Penelope's.
All right. So at this point, it's pretty late. It's probably like 3 a.m. or so. And you're at Penelope's. You open the door, and in the center of the room is the chest. And it has a new envelope on it.
Did someone come in while we weren't here? Did you get a delivery? I'll kind of look over at Penelope.
No, that's for me. I haven't had a chance to tell you guys. I had a really horrible, horrible encounter with that thing we saw in the mirror.
A thing you saw in the mirror? So you didn't see? You didn't see Hathor?
It was eating me in a dream.
If it was Hathor, lucky you. And if it wasn't, I'm really sorry.
No, not that kind of eating.
Yeah, I think when the invocation of eating people comes up, Lenore practically turns green.
And I like show Evie my leg.
What? Oh my, Belle, are you all right? Do you need anything? I might have a pill.
I'm okay right now, but afterwards this chest showed up on my doorstep and then in my trunk of my car and now here.
So it's following you?
Yeah, but I don't want to open it.
Do you know what's in it?
I don't want to open it. At least I didn't want to open it by myself. That's why I went looking for all of you.
Well, you're not alone. We're here with you.
I think Imani looks so unbelievably guilty. She couldn't do anything about it, but she still feels like all of this is because of her. So she will go in front of the chest and open it.
I think as you move, Robbie does too. Still hasn't learned the lesson of not knowing.
While they're opening the trunk, I open the card.
I actually back away from the trunk and try and pull Penelope away from the trunk, too.
Penelope looks at you and goes, I have some Ipecac. We can get rid of what we just did.
Nothing is going to get rid of what we just did.
I know. I'm just talking about physically.
I can't right now.
Well, I understand. And she just kind of puts her arms around you and kind of hugs you a bit.
I think Lenore sort of slumps into it a little bit. Just very defeated.
It was your first time reacting to stress. And when you get really stressed out, you can suddenly change. You're not like me. You can't control it as well as I can.
Apparently, I can't control it at all. So
with time, the problem is that you need time. I'll try to help you as much as I can. I'm so sorry for all this.
And Lenore just nods.
Okay. So you all are far away from the chest. And I think at some point, Easter probably walks over to the two of you and is kind of sitting next to the two of you. Imani, you're in front of the chest. You open it up. And inside it is the corpse of War and another message in another envelope on top of them.
Well, what did the first message say that was on the outside?
The card on the outside says, you shouldn't say no to gifts. That's it.
I think we have bigger problems. Imani, just with two fingers, like, holds up the second envelope, but her eyes have never left the inside of the chest.
Robbie's down on their knees, not reaching in, not touching, just, like, leaning over the lip and inspecting.
You notice, Robbie, that the corpse has several different lacerations and around the neck, it looks like he's been strangled, and there's a bunch of tentacle impressions around his neck. Belle, do you take the...
Yeah.
Okay.
I take the envelope, and I open it.
It just says, like we said, everybody should get what they want.
He wanted to die. The note just says, everybody should get what they want.
I need you all to make a knowledge roll So you're going to roll against your knowledge or your education, basically.
I got an 18 under my 80.
Okay.
I got a 66 over my 60. Can I spend luck on that?
I don't think you're going to want to spend luck on that. Failing's actually good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I got an 80 over my 40.
Okay.
I got an 82 over, this is education?
Yeah.
82 over 65.
Okay.
I got a 10 under my 50.
Okay. So Cass and Robbie both fail.
Wait, I thought we succeeded.
Oh, no. Well, succeeding's bad.
Succeeded in, okay. Great.
Yeah, sorry.
We succeeded
sorry.
In failing.
Succeeded
yeah,
in failing.
Yeah, for sure.
So you remember distinctly being told that there was no way for him to die. There was no way for War to be killed. And the thought of whatever could actually destroy this entity is quite horrifying. I'm not going to make you make resolve checks, but I am going to ask you each to take 1 point of resolve just because of that realization.
Wait, all of us are just...
Just Robbie and Cass. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the rest of you don't remember that one little factoid, basically. It doesn't click real quick. It's more of a stunned thing. So you're all sitting there with a corpse in a chest, and you just left a corpse in another place.
He was sad. When we talked to them last time, they were sad. I don't think this is what he wanted. I don't think this is how he wanted it.
I don't even know what we would do with him. I mean, he's not a human. Do we still bury him?
I think it would be respectful.
Could we put it in the room with the chains, Penelope? What if we need it later?
We can put the chest in the room for now. I don't know what else to do with it at this very second, and we all need to talk and figure out what our next move is. This at least can be put aside for right this second.
He wanted to kill us. Why am I sad?
I don't think it was personal. I don't think it was, the intention wasn't there. It was more, not us specifically, but humankind in general.
That's bad, though. He objectively wanted something bad, so why am I sad that it's dead?
That's a good question. Because you're a good person, I imagine.
It's because you're not, it's because you're not used to this.
For what it's worth, Robbie, you aren't the only one who feels bad.
I personally don't know what to feel. Or if I feel anything at all at this point.
Lenore stands up suddenly and just says, excuse me, and walks to the front door and just steps outside.
I'll go.
So you walk outside?
Yeah.
Okay. And Cass is, how far do you walk, Cass?
Not very far. I think I'm just sitting outside on the front steps and trying to breathe in the fresh air, because I imagine the smell of War's corpse probably was not super pleasant on top of everything, and I don't know if all of her senses are still a little more heightened, or they are in general, or...
At this point, because you've changed, they're not at wolf state, but they are slightly more than most people, so...
Okay. Yeah, I think she steps outside and she's just sitting on the front steps, just eyes closed, just breathing.
Okay. Amane, you walk out.
Yeah, I think Amane doesn't really say anything. She just kind of, like, sits next to you, but, like, leaves enough space between the two of you. She's not, like, encroaching in on your personal space. And she just kind of, like, sits there and also, like, puts her head in her hands and just sits out there in silence with you just for a second.
You left her there. Lenore doesn't look up. She's still eyes closed, sitting next to you, but yeah, she's still just sitting there.
I did.
You left her there for me to kill.
I thought with what she had done, with what she was attempting to do, she had a gun. I thought she could protect herself at least, but I'm not gonna lie to you, Lenore. I can't say I don't feel at least the tiniest bit relieved that is over now, and I'm sorry I put you in that predicament. That was not fair at all.
God damn it, Amane. She was lowering the gun, and I...
You didn't see what she had done.
She should have gone to the police then.
And how do we explain that, Lenore? How?
that she kills people and that you need to, I don't know, maybe you needed to be turned in too. Are you any better than her? You knew what was going on. And you left her there for me to tear her apart. I don't care what she's done. Nobody deserves that. I didn't deserve that.
That's true.
And now not only am I this fucking monster, but I've also killed someone. So that's just really great.
I was selfish. And that's not an excuse or anything to make you feel any better, because there's nothing that I could do or say to take this from you.
At least being selfish, you'll fit in this fucking town.
I didn't know the ex...
Don't keep saying you didn't know.
No, that's not...
I literally ate her. I ate a person. I'm never coming back from this. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Then I don't know what else we have to talk about.
Imani doesn't say anything. She just kind of sits there and lets it rest there.
All right, so let's jump back inside. Penelope gets up, says, I'll be right back, walks away. While the three of you, Belle, Evie, and Robbie, are looking down at the corpse of War. And she comes back in her own clothes. She goes, I'm sorry, I had to get into my own things. We should move this into the room. At least I know it's sealed. And she starts to pick up one side and she goes, can I get a little help? I'm not going to be able to carry this by myself.
Yeah. Not to be morbid, but just be prepared for when you open it back up.
Yeah, I know. We'll hopefully get rid of it without having to open it back up. But I don't know what to do. And she goes, I guess a Christian burial? I have no clue.
Probably, but you know, one thing at a time. Let's get him into the room. We'll seal it, and then we'll figure out what our next step is.
Okay. So you guys put it in the room and you shut the room up, and the four of you are standing in the center of this room, and Penelope walks over to Robbie, puts her hand on Robbie's shoulder. Are you okay, Robbie?
Robbie hasn't gotten up from the floor. They're still kind of knelt down next to where the box was. And as Penelope puts a hand on their shoulder, they kind of flinch, not in a get away from me kind of a way, but just in a, like, they forgot they have a physical form kind of way and that they can be interacted with in a physical way. I don't think that's a question any of us can ask, because we all know the answer. So I'm not really going to answer that, because we already know.
I'm sorry. You're right. I guess I'm just worried about all of us. And I know it's a lot to take in. I'm trying to figure it all out myself. If I can make a suggestion, she says to all of you, I think that we just need to retire to different rooms and rest. It might not be sleep, but some kind of peacefulness.
As soon as she says separate rooms, Robbie starts shaking their head. And anytime we go somewhere alone, it's bad. Anytime we go somewhere by ourselves, something bad happens. So we stay together, right? We just have to stay together, and bad things will happen, but they won't happen to one of us. They'll happen to all of us, and then we'll all know, and then we can help each other. So if we stay together, that's better. That's better.
I think Robbie's right.
Okay.
I think maybe we should all stay in the same room.
Makes sense. We can make it as comfortable as possible. I have a theater room that I never use that we can go in there. And
are we all fired?
Why would you be fired?
Well, the studio called earlier looking for you, and you were outside with Cass, and I don't even remember what we told them, but we're supposed to just go to work. There's the Horseman of Death in your other room, and then Cass is a werewolf, and there's a monster in the mirror, and Rose, and we're all just supposed to go to work.
I don't know what the etiquette is, unfortunately. I don't know if work is a bad thing, though, at the same time.
That's where he was. That's where he was just hanging out. He was just at the studio, so...
No one knows that War is in a box in my werewolf room. It's okay. It's all right.
No, it's not that people will know. It's that what else is there? Who else is there? Why else are they... If he started there, like, who... We don't know anything. We don't know anything. So why would we go?
Penelope kind of gives this look to Evie and Belle of like, little help? Or, you know, like she's not sure how to calm the situation down.
Evie puts one hand on either side of Robbie's shoulders and shakes them very gently. just to kind of get their attention, to get them to look into her eyes.
I understand this is your first time having anything like this happen. I can't say that supernatural things have happened, but there have been deaths on set that perhaps were less than savory, if you know what I mean. The show must go on. In moments like this, it does help to go back to some semblance of normalcy. And while dearly departed War was on set, I doubt he was dispatched there. So perhaps that's the safest place we might be right now,
Why does it matter, though? Why would normalcy matter when nothing is normal? Like, pretending things are normal isn't going to make things normal again.
No, it won't. But do you see how you're feeling right now? Like, all of your nerves are exposed?
Yeah.
Think about being in your trailer, or the closet you call a trailer, and writing late into the night about the vision you have for this next big picture you're on. How does that feel?
I don't know if I have vision anymore. I don't know.
You don't have vision?
No, I...
Robbie, darling, you have been through an epic. You have no vision? You have nothing to write about?
It's real, though. Everything else was a story. Everything else was a maybe, and now it's a yes, and...
They do say write what you know.
I don't know anything, though!
Robbie, you're saying, oh, but this is real now. What were you just arguing for? The story on eugenics? Yes.
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yes.
And this is real? What we're going through right now?
Yes.
And you're a writer?
Yes.
Make it make sense, Robbie.
I can't even make it make sense for me. How is it supposed to make sense to anyone else?
It doesn't have to. It just has to be entertaining.
People are really stupid.
Yes! At least we've learned something, right? This is good. This is a breakthrough, Robbie. Yes. People are stupid.
Robbie just kind of, like, lean launches into Ebony's chest and sobs again.
Oh, there. Cry it out, yes. Please. You know what? You keep up these kinds of tears. You might have a job in front of the camera one day. Very good.
No, thank you. That sounds awful.
She just strokes your hair and lets you go as long as you need to.
I'm going to say that this is a really good place for us to stop.
God damn it. I was just thinking. I was like, fuck, two back-to-back crushing ass scenes. Killer scenes. Fuck, this is great.
And it's a great, that's why me as Wes the producer thinks this is a great place to stop.
Yeah, this is unreal. Y'all, this was such a, these like last.
Save it,
like,
save it, not, save not, it. After show.
Oh yeah, we have to save for our after show.
I love the enthusiasm, but pull it back. Thank you all so much for an incredible episode. Yes, it was on the shorter side, but I think that, no, I'm not going to say that with this group. I'm just going to let it go. We're going to move forward. Thank you all so much for joining us. Sam got what I was going to say. It's not about length. So let's.
Such a 12-year-old boy. Jesus Christ.
Sam started laughing. I was like, nope, not going to do it.
It's a penis joke.
All right. So thank you all so much for being a part. That was an awesome episode. Let's find out where all these very talented people are. Let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I have been Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. You can find me at The Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace the Magnificent everywhere else. You can hear more from me on podcasts Beyond the Outer, as well as Bloom and Blight. And you can also find me every other Saturday over at Matihi's channel on Twitch, playing What We Do in the Shallows, an original 5e horror pirate campaign.
Hello, I'm Lev. I played Robbie. You know that, because I said it at the beginning. I forgot what I'm supposed to say here. Right! You can find me on socials on Twitter at Lego M2RS, and on Mayday Roleplay, and in some audio fictions and a couple video games. So if you want to hear me talk, there's places. There you go.
All right. Hello. I'm Sam Star. You can catch me all across social medias at Lust for Life, LustForLifeX. You can see what I do on Twitter when I'm there and talking about it. or other socials and shit. Catch me Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transplanter RPG's Twitch channel and or YouTube, as well as by Connie Chong on TikTok, where we are in our second main campaign for Transplanter RPG called The Chaos Protocol. We just started off our second arc and shit is getting nuts. Check it out.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere online as at Strange Like That.
Hey, I'm Michelle. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. Oh, wait a minute. No. I'm Michelle. You can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And my name is Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the different socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, and then Sided Stories on all the socials as well. Or if you want to find all our links and stuff, go to our website at 12sidedstories.com. It's all written out as one word. For the socials, it's the number 12 Sided Stories, just to note that. Follow us over on Discord and talk with us and let us know what's going on with you and gaming and all that good stuff. If you can support the show, go over to Patreon, become a Patreon member. You get a bunch of cool things, including our new show about Mothership, which is Beyond the Outer, as well as I'm going to start running some campaigns for some of our Patreon people here in the next couple of months. And so that's going to be a big deal too. So yeah, if you can't do that, give us a shout out on any social media, or, you know, give us a review on your favorite platform. We appreciate that immensely as well. Thank you again. This was an awesome episode. If you are one of our supporters, definitely listen to the after show. We will talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.